So I'd like to start the second part. Sorry that initially they scheduled me for 2 hours, and there's a little bit of change of schedule. So I'm going to try to paste it. Yeah. So now I want to start telling you a little story that after I finished my freshman year at Andrews, I went home and I asked my dad for a car. And he said, "Why do you need a car? Like, you live in a dorm." I said, "Well, you know, I'll be teaching Andrews Korean Church, high school and junior high, and I want to be the first one at church, and I need a car to go there. And then for this reason and that reason, and maybe if I have a car, maybe I'll ask a girl out or something like that." And he said, "Woo-seok, you don't know a woman, you know." I was like, "Yeah, women don't care about cars. They look at personality, you know. You know, confidence, you know, outgoing. When you say 타, then, which means, my dad was kind of that kind of person. He's like, 타. And then, like, girl will ride in the back of your bicycle. I thought that he will never buy me a car, and I wish that he knew that he was no longer 1960 in Korea. You know. But, you know, by end of the summer, he bought me a car, actually, and very nice car, nicer than his own car. So after we bought the car and we came back to dealership, our whole family went in. My mom, dad, me and my sister, and we prayed. My mom prayed, "Thank you, God, for blessing our family that we can purchase a car for our son. And please bless this car, that this car will be used for your church." But my mind was somewhere else. Yeah, I have to be honest that I was thinking, with this nice car, that I'll be quite popular, you know, with new incoming freshman ladies and all that. Yeah. But it did not take me more than 2 months to realize that my dad was right, that girls don't look at cars, they look at personality. Yeah. But because my mom's prayer, yeah, the car was absolutely used well for driving the junior high and high school, you know, kids. Yeah. So today I'm going to talk about disappointment and depression and God's grace. We need God's grace when we are feeling down, right? So there's a strong connection between nutrition and mental health. You know, now there's a field called nutritional psychiatry. You know, it's pretty much well known at this point. What kids eat when they're young affects now and for the rest of their lives, their mental health. This is a review of 12 studies. What adults eat are associated with the depression. It's even related with the seniors. You know, they, as older people, when they eat healthier diet, it actually prevents a senior or senile depression. I'm just going to briefly review advanced glycation end products. I know some of you guys weren't here last year. So advanced glycation end products are these, in Korean, 찌꺼기, leftovers that accumulate in our body. We see them sometimes when we cook. You put some food on the frying pan, they leave more residues than others, and they accumulate in our body, causing disease in our blood vessels and some in our brain. And now, you can measure, since around 2000, how much of these leftovers are accumulated in our body. And so let's start with the fruits and vegetables. Like when you eat a raw apple, 100 gram, about 127 units. But when you bake the apple, so you're cooking it or processing it, that accumulation goes to 445. So the concept is that the more food you cook and you're processing them, it's unhealthy for your body. Now, when we go to poultry or meat, the level jumps up from 10 to 1,000. So instead of eating apple, when you eat the same amount of chicken, raw chicken, which is 7,600, boiled chicken, 11,000, broiled, barbecue, 58,000, and then fried, 73,000. Same thing with the beef. The levels are very high. Now, one of the highest numbers that you can get is actually dairy products. Like, yeah, Parmesan cheese, 169,000, and butter, 264,000. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I know, because psychiatrists, if you're feeling down, but yeah, so the concept is here. You know, when our church actually started in 1864, the very same year we got the concept of advanced glycation end product, and the liability to take diseases increased tenfold by meat eating. So we've known this the same, you know, the month after our church was formed. Now, it gets a little more interesting. 2010 Johns Hopkins shows that you can measure how much advanced glycation end product you have, and then you can see how much time you have left. Yeah, I don't want to know personally. It's, so, pretty much every organ in your body is affected by this accumulation of leftovers, and it reduces your longevity. As we talked about the brain, as well as blood vessels, bones, joints, etc. Now, this is the last year's study that shows when you have such accumulation, you also have a depression. This study was done not doing a brain biopsy. You don't do brain biopsy unless you have a brain cancer, right? So they simply did a biopsy of your skin to measure how much advanced glycation end products accumulated, and they were able to figure out those with higher level had a more depression. This is a 2013 Cambridge review that showed what you eat affects your brain health. So poor diet makes epigenetic changes, which is affecting your DNA, and then ultimately causes many of the brain disorders. So the question is, when we change our diet to plant-based diet, do we get healthier mentally? Many of you guys heard of this study. 2015, George Washington with Dr. Neil Barnard, right? He did a study with a Geico insurance company, 18-week plant-based diet. And then after 18 weeks, all these medical conditions, such as sugar issues, cholesterol issues, weight issues got better, but also mental issues, such as anxiety and depression. This is a 2015 Spanish study that actually pretty much gave a plant-based Adventist health diet, fruits, vegetables, legumes, and nuts, and monitor how many people are having depression. These Adventist health diet does prevent depression. Then the question is, how much is a good amount of fruits and vegetables, especially raw, to prevent mental health? This is a this year's study that show when you eat about 6.5 servings of raw and fruits and vegetables, that's when you can perform at a peak mental health. About, yeah, I'll wait for you guys to take pictures. So, you know, these are like one servings of fruits and vegetables, and we need to eat about 6.5 a day. You know, before all these studies came out, even before our Adventist health message, you know, the relationship between a healthy diet and a mental health, we've known this. Remember Daniel chapter 1, right? King Nebuchadnezzar attended this convincing health seminar by Daniel. Only problem was it was in the afternoon and he was sleeping. So he did not get it. Why did God give health message to King Nebuchadnezzar? I believe that he was preparing King Nebuchadnezzar's mind to give the message of judgment and God's mercy. But because his mind wasn't ready, I think he rejected both of them, right? And what was the result of that? He developed a delusional disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. You know, the golden statue is actually a symptom that's representing the mental disorder that he developed. Spirit of prophecy explains this. A spirit of jealousy against the kingdoms that were to follow, he became oppressive, hardening his heart. And because God loves King Nebuchadnezzar so much, God sent his own son to show him the message of the righteousness by faith. Yet King Nebuchadnezzar rejected Jesus, his presence, And the rejecting of Jesus' love, His presence, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power, for the honor of my majesty. This is a quite a striking manic phase of bipolar disorder. So what is left to do when someone has this much of mental disorder, right? We send them to Weimar, Depression Recovery Program, right? So, you know, nowadays, you know, Weimar, you go, they have a cafeteria and then, you know, private bedroom. Well, back then, they did it a little differently. He was driven from man and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with dews of heaven. They still did a hydrotherapy. You know. All that for free, right? So what was the result? He became humble, wise, compassionate, and he became to promote the fear of Jehovah and the happiness of his subjects. You know, I truly believe that Daniel chapter 4, which was written by King Nebuchadnezzar, right? You know, it was a letter of repentance, you know, letter of apology. See, I know it because I wrote several of those before in the past, you know. So, prescription medication and depression. You know, when we do not change our healthy lifestyle to healthier lifestyle and we continue our medications only, our disease will never leave us. And while we are accumulating the side effects of medications, one-third of most common drugs are associated with the depression. This came out just 2 months ago. I think just for this camp meeting. When you take no medication, generally population is about 5% depression, right? One medication, 7%. Three plus medication, 15%. Spirit of prophecy explains this pretty well. When drugs are introduced into the system for a time, they may seem to have beneficial effect. A change may take place, but the disease is not cured. It will manifest itself in some other form. The liver, heart, and brain are frequently affected by drugs. Educate away from drugs. Use them never. No, actually, not never here. Use them less and less. And depend more upon hygienic agencies. Then nature will respond to God's physicians. Pure air, pure water, proper exercise, a clear conscience. Drugs need seldom be used. Have you guys heard a statement from Ellen White that never use drugs? So this is what I believe. I think there's a report card that Jesus will give to us. That you follow health principles and you're fortunate enough to grow up Adventist family from as a baby. Or perhaps you even had a father, grandfather, or great-grandfather who are Adventists, being faithful to Adventist diet. I mean, your genes are pristine, right? And you probably end up never taking medication. When you go to heaven, I think you'll get an A for your health, right? But let's say you're not Adventist. You didn't know health message. You have advanced disease. You have intractable cancer pain. And you take medication to treat those symptoms. Do you think God will give you F for that? I think B is a good number to grade to get. And now these are the ones that we are struggling with. You know, knowing the health message, not following, but because I have this conception that I will not take medications and just let it be, just escape the reality, I think this is a, you'll get C. Yeah. And there's the next one. That I've seen some of these patients. Knowing the health message, not following the health message, not taking the medicine, and asking camp meeting speaker for a miracle. Yeah, I mean, there's no grade for these. These are simply the sign of Jesus' second coming. I just, yeah, that. And I have to tell you that honestly, last 5 days that I'm convinced that Jesus is coming soon. No babies are born depressed. So some babies look like depressed, but it's just a genetic phenotype. Why do we become depressed? It's recently explained, actually. Habenula theory of depression, this from Yale, summarized beautifully. When we experience repeated disappointments, these disappointments generate brain changes. Then the brain changes, we become depressed. Habenula is a part of limbic system in our lower nature. So let's see the mechanism how that happens. So when a mouse is in the maze, right, looking for cheese, and then when he finally finds a cheese, he has a dopamine. And that dopamine actually triggers memory to learn, to come back to this location next time. You know, that's why we use sticker charts for our children to give them a little bit boost of dopamine so that they'll wash their hands next time they use their bathroom. Also, this positive rewarding experience actually creates expectation. So next time, even before the cheese is going in the mouth is getting closer. I think I'm getting closer. The dopamine is going up. You know, all of us are actually experiencing higher level of dopamine right now. Not because of my presentation, but we're all thinking about dinner at 5. Right? Yeah. But now, there's no cheese, right? What happens is habenula gets activated, and its job is to suppress the reward system, to suppress the disappointment. And through that process, the mouse actually experiences a disappointment and gradually into depression. You know, God actually created this. So you don't chase the wind for the rest of your life, right? The problem is we do chase wind sometimes. And sometimes we look for things that are not bread. And the repeated disappointment, which is a stress to the brain, causes structural changes, and we actually become depressed. Bible describes this. Hope deferred makes the heart. I think it's a habenula, actually. They misspelled it. Sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. I want to show you a video. Just 1 minute long. So what the situation is like is that... So these are the researchers at Emory, yeah. So, you know, these monkeys, they pick up like stones and they give back to the researcher and they get a reward. Usually, cucumber. And then once in a while, you can get grapes, right? And so, and then there's a monkey here. And then he's also living very close to his neighbor. So let's see what the interaction looked like here. Gives stone, gets a cucumber. He's like, oh, this is delicious, great. Gives a stone, and then he gets, ooh, grapes. Whoa, look at that. All right. Give stone, let me get some grapes too. Uh-oh. He's like... He's not wanting to give the stone back. Better give me a grape this time. I don't even want it in my mouth. You know what this monkey truly needs? Is that he needs God's grace to not to look at his neighbor. Yeah. I do feel sorry for him as well. That's what depression does, or disappointment does, and expectation does. When we have a depression, one of the things that happens in our frontal lobe is that its activity goes down. And then with that, our mind becomes more wandering. This is a study from Harvard that actually measured our brain activity, what we are doing, how happy we are 24/7. we found out that when we are focused, that's when we are most happy. When we are exercising, having face-to-face conversation, when we are praying and worshiping and meditating, when we are mindful, when we are focused, we are most happy. In conclusion, a human mind is a wandering mind. And a wandering mind is an unhappy mind. The ability to think about what is not happening is a cognitive achievement that comes at an emotional cost. So, when we are not focused and look left and right, we become somewhat depressed or have a negative emotions. So, what prayer does? Prayer does the opposite. This is from Yale. So, when we pray, the connection between the frontal lobe and limbic system gets more coupled or more connected. So what it does is that as we pray, we often experience this. When our minds are just all over and we calm ourselves down and pray, the blood actually goes to our frontal lobe. And then we first catch ourselves wondering, oh, why is it going all over, right? Mm-hmm. And number two, we refocus. And then prayer itself actually helps to maintain the focus. Mm-hmm. We should accustom ourselves to often lift the thought to God in prayer. If the mind wanders, we must bring it back. By preserving effort, habit will finally make it easy. Where does our habits form? It's actually limbic system. That's why when we ride a bicycle, we don't need a frontal lobe to think, you know, right leg this way. No, we just simply do that, right? And same thing when we are stressed out, that's when our character is revealed. Like, you know how we are now, actually, you know, camp meeting, relaxed and all that. Often not our true character sometimes, right? And then when we go home, you know, when there's suppression of frontal lobe, it comes out. I just want to share about prayer one thing. I think this is so true that the prayers of Christian mothers are not disregarded by the Father of all, who sent his Son to the earth to ransom a people for himself. He will not turn away your petitions and leave you and your children to the buffering of Satan in the great day of final conflict. You know, sometimes taking care of kids, I don't do it that much, but when I do it sometimes, I just want to go back to work, you know. But I think, you know, moms being at home, sometimes I'm sure feel that way all the time. But when you pray, it says never, right? God will not turn away your petitions. How was the greatest revival in the Old Testament happened? It was done by Prophet Samuel. You know, he said, every needle was made with a prayer by the mother Hannah. You know, the baby clothes that mother made and she brought to the temple once a year. Every needle swing was literally made by prayers. That's what it takes to have a revival. Mother's prayers. You know, things of this world cannot satisfy us forever. You know, we build tolerance. We build up tolerance, whether it's a drug, hamburgers, even health seminar sermons. After a while, you know, I understand. You know, when we are exercising and when we get thirsty and you drink water, your limbic system produces dopamine. And we experience the reward. And when you keep doing that, it develops motivation. You want to exercise again and drink that water again, right? That actually comes in a limbic system, mesolimbic dopaminergic pathway. It's an area that generates dopamine that gives us reward, the pleasure. In fact, all four happy neurotransmitters are coming from the lower nature, limbic system. You know, dopamine, endorphin. Have you guys heard of endorphin? Yeah. Oxytocin, serotonin. You know, they come from limbic system to give us motivation to maintain our survival. Wanting to eat, drink, sleep, work hard again. You know, Koreans call this 살맛난다. Do you know the term 살맛난다? It's like a thrill of life, you know. You guys know the song like, oh, I shouldn't talk about that on the Sabbath. But when the thrill is gone and you get blues down. And Sorry. Never mind. But the point is that those four neurotransmitters generate the thrill of life, the motivation to survive. And every time I go super HMR, I experience that. So, this is what happened. Jesus told his disciples that he must be crucified. This is a getting ready for third trip to Jerusalem. Peter tries his best not to let Jesus be crucified. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Lord, it is good for us to be here. You know what Peter was trying to do is that Peter wanted to have Jesus build a house with them, perhaps near Super H Mart, you know, and not go to Jerusalem and do ministry that makes them happy. Teaching, healing, preaching. You know, people come back and say, thank you for the message. I mean, it's a great feeling. See, Jesus actually experienced the four happy neurotransmitters while he was preaching, teaching, and healing. How do I know? You guys know the story of Samaritan woman at the well. You know, this is a very unusual event. This was not supposed to happen. You know, the gospel was not supposed to go outside of the chosen people until the death of Stephen. When you look at the prophecy, there's a timeline, right? But Jesus tasted it. After the woman responded, Jesus saw what is going to happen to this whole planet of Gentiles. And he just got such a thrill out of it. You know, he was so satisfied. When disciples came back with food, he said, I have food to eat, which you do not know. This is not the x-ray of Jesus, but his brain was like that. His brain was saturated with the dopamine. By seeing the response of the Samaritan woman, he was able to foresee what is going to happen to the millions of people that's going to come and hear the gospel and respond to his love. For thousands of years, Satan has been experimenting upon the properties of the human mind, and he has learned to know it well. Satan knew that too. He finally found the weakness, the weak spot that he's going to strike. And this was a weak spot. Satan was at hand to press his temptations upon the Son of Man. Why should he go to Jerusalem to certain death? Why do not stay here? Continue your words of grace, preaching, healing, and giving light, teaching. Being a good teacher, being a good doctor, being a good pastor, and live here. Make people happy. Give them what they want. That was the fierce and subtle temptation that Jesus had to face through his limbic system. And Jesus responds, you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. When Satan is trying to tempt Jesus with things of man, the pleasure, the satisfaction, the thrill of life, Jesus responds that he is Son of God. He's a child of Holy Spirit. He doesn't go by the limbic system. His mind is sealed. He goes by the frontal lobe. You know, the purpose of the health message is to become mindful of the things of God. In 2009, NIH invited 40 religious people and did a brain scan to find out what faith is. And they asked them, while they're giving these religious statements, see how their brains were doing. They found that the religious people have a higher response, pattern of response, because they have experienced these words previously in their brain, which is wonderful. Faith is like a brain switch that turns light. Faith is our brain activity that responds to the truth. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the truth, and when you have the experience, your brain turns on. But the faith doesn't do anything beyond that. We are not saved by faith. Through faith, we receive the grace of God. But faith is not our Savior. This is from Desire of Ages, page 175. It earns nothing. Faith, is the hand by which we lay hold upon Christ and appropriate His merits, the remedy for sin. And we cannot even repent without the aid. Here, aid is actually grace of the Spirit of God. Until the power that we do not have inside, we cannot do anything. Faith is simply an activation saying, help, help, help. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. So the grace is what saves us. And faith is the connection. It's the IV that links the medicine. Grace is what that transforms us. That's what we need. We need to desire God's grace. We need to be prepared for God's grace. We need to pray for His grace. You know, there'll come a time we'll receive extra dose of this grace. It's called latter rain. Man needs a power outside and beyond himself to restore him to the likeness of God and enable him to do the work of God, the things of God. We need a power from outside in order to be mindful of the things of God and to do the things of God. When we desire to be set free from sin and in our great need to cry out, for a power out of and above ourselves, the powers of the soul are imbued with the divine energy of the Holy Spirit, and they obey the dictates of the will in fulfilling the will of God. So, when I was in an elementary school, if my dad doesn't come home by 9 p.m., I'll feel anxious. Because I knew that he'll come home often drunk. You know, back then he drank heavily. So this will happen like once or twice a week while I was growing up. One time it was around like 2 a.m. I heard noise and I woke up, so I went to the living room. And then I saw my dad just lying on the floor of the living room. And there's vomit all over. Yeah. It smelled like a Korean restaurant, actually, the barbecue place. Which can be good and bad. And my mom, so I went to look for my mom, and then I tried to open her door. It was locked. And she had to go to work, so she knew he was going to come drunk, and she just locked the door. So here I was. Maybe I was 10, 11. I could not leave him lying there covered in vomit, right? So I put rubber gloves from the kitchen and, you know, dressed him, undressed him, and dragged him to the bathroom. This was in Korea. And he was so drunk that he had no idea that it was going on. I turned the water, and the water was coming up, but it wasn't hot water. Like in Korea, they use charcoal, yeontan, you know, and like 2, 3 in the morning, it gets cold, and the water gets cold. So here's a naked man. I did all that to bring him here, and there's no warm water. What do? Well, just pour it, right? Which makes sense. I don't know. Which made sense back then. And he went like this, and he looked at me and said, oh, he realized his 10, 11-year-old son was trying to give him a bath, right? They said, oh, go to sleep. It's okay. Just go to sleep. So, my junior year, high school years, you know, I'll pray for my dad in the morning, you know, please change him, you know. In college, I prayed for him too. And I think my junior year, things have changed. I became like, what's the point? He's sane. you know. But my mom was a prayer warrior. Like, she falls, prays. She does this, she prays, you know. So, medical school, I came home for a break. I saw my dad kneeling by himself, praying alone in his bedroom. I was thinking, wow. It's like watching a sun rising from west. It's like, yeah, it was just shock. You know, he made a lot of efforts, and he changed, actually. He stopped drinking, you know, maybe in college. I don't know when he stopped drinking, you know. And but I didn't accept his changes. You know, he was, you know, people don't reform overnight. You know, you need time to change, right? But he made all those changes, but I had this hard feeling toward him. And I was bitter for all those years, right? Because I was always comparing my family to the happy families in the church. You know, they're all happy and they have everything. See, I was too young to realize the happiest family in the church were the best at hiding things. You know, it kind of works that way in Korean community, right? But I was too slow to learn these things. So I thought the way how they're really like that at home. Yeah, 99% of times, maybe not. But a few months later, I met my mom and my dad. They're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then Atlanta, Georgia. I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We'll meet up like somewhere in Greensboro or someplace. And my mom and dad will come and they'll drop me up. Doenjang, you know. Like my grandmother actually makes a doenjang professionally in Atlanta. And then like they'll bring two or three of these. And I'll cook two large pots every Sunday. That'll last me a whole week, right? So after, you know, they came or we met, I got the food. I gave mom a hug. And then my dad looked at it and he said, hey, let me get that hug too. I could not remember the last time I gave him a hug to him, right? And the problem is that, you know, I have this very strong Korean ajashi gene in me. You know, very stern, you know. But, you know, I tried. You know, I gave him a little hug, you know. The next time I saw them was that they were both lying in the hospital. So, not that night. I couldn't sleep. But the night after, I was sleeping and then maybe like 2 hours, I woke up and I was kind of like dreaming. And then I was like kind of waking up. I was thinking, I got to talk to my dad. I need to find out how to buy a burial site. I've never done this before. And I realized, wow, yeah, I cannot really talk to him again. That moment, I understood my dad's heart. You know, before my dad was born, you know, his father, so my dad was born like 6 months after Korean War began, and his father went missing the day of Korean War began. He was kind of like a local politician, and people believe he was kidnapped by like North Korean agents who were already in South Korea to disrupt the country. And my dad's mother left him when he was 4 years old to remarry. And so he kind of grew up like an orphan from that house, that house, that house. So, like soon after my parents passed away, like I was cleaning their stuff, I found a little yellow paper in his desk area. It was a little prayer for my sister in his handwriting. And he was praying for my sister because at the time, my dad wanted her to study more, to go to dental school, and she wanted to go to Spain for a year, you know, things like that. But he wrote a prayer so he can pray every day for her. After my senses came back in 2011, when God told me, if you stay here, you lose everything, I gradually came to realize that, you know, it is not my place to blame my dad for not having all the things of man. all the things of the world. But what I truly needed was God's grace. You know, we experienced depression, disappointment, not because God was short-handed, but sometimes we're distracted. We're looking at the guy with the grape rather than my cucumber. You know. See, I needed grace to continue pray for my dad, like my mother was doing. I needed grace to give him the love that he did not have to grow up. And I needed to give him the hug when he asked. See, only by God's grace, we can do things of God. You know, we try to do things on our own, trying to be good. Maybe we'll do it for a short term, but it's not going to be consistent. We need a daily shower of God's grace to do things of God. So the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut up from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending us Jesus. Thank you for giving us your promise of your grace, the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for blaming you for not having more of things of this world while you are trying to pour down your grace on us. We pray by your grace that we become your vessels, that we want to be filled by your grace. We want to praise you with the loud cry that you deserve. Make us your servant. We are yours. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.